When my sister, I've got two sisters, when one of them was a little girl, she really wanted to be a nun. Actually, her main experience of nuns was what she had seen watching The Sound of Music. So I think what she really wanted was to play Maria, which of course has become very common now, hasn't it? I can't particularly identify with that myself, but I suspect there are a few ladies here who could. Ever wanted to run off and become a nun? Maybe not. What about the men? Don't answer that. I reckon there are lots of us, though, who at some stage would have liked to escape, or indeed did escape, to the isolated rural idyll which is known as the house in France. My wife's auntie owns a little house in the middle of nowhere in Brittany, and we've been there a couple of times. It's very nice. It stands in its own enormous garden or wilderness. And here's the thing, she's been trying to sell it for years now. It's very cheap. And I confess that I have had moments when I thought, what could be better than moving to the middle of nowhere in Brittany, far away from everybody, with nothing to worry about? Of course, I don't know what we'd live on, because grapes won't grow there. But one of the mistakes that Christians have made all through history is to think that the best way to be different from the world is to be completely separate from it. You see, the Bible's very clear that Christians, people like you and me, we are to be distinct. We're to be different from the world around us. And the way Jesus explains it is to use these two little pictures in Matthew chapter 5 of salt and light. So if you could have that Matthew passage in front of you, that would be really helpful. And what you've got to understand is that Matthew 5, these verses are part of what is called the Sermon on the Mount. It's one of the most famous sermons that Jesus preached. But it's really important, okay, that we get this. Jesus is not saying, do all these really difficult things and that will make you right with God. That's not what he's saying, so please don't think it. Tempting as it is. What he's saying all through his Gospels is, through my perfect life and through my death on a cross, I can make you right with God. It's like what we said last week. Jesus says, I can set you free. Don't live as a slave anymore. You're now a son. You're now a daughter of the King. You don't need to live like that anymore. All you need to do now is live out the family likeness. Please hear this. It's not being good that makes you a Christian. Lots of people still think that's what makes you a Christian. But it's not. It's not being good. What makes you a Christian is being saved by Jesus. And it's being saved by Jesus that makes you good. We still get it the wrong way around, don't we? So many of us. So let me tell you a little story. You've heard of William Wilberforce. He was actually quite famous before he became very famous for being the man who abolished slavery in the UK. He was actually quite famous as an author. In 1797, he wrote a book called A Practical View of Christianity. And it was a bestseller back then, and it's still in print today. And this is what he said. He said, the problem with so many Christians is that they have good morals and decent ethics, but there's no room for Jesus. And of course, the problem is, without Jesus, morality, it gets robbed of what should give it life and nourishment. And when that happens, the morals themselves start to wither. And he wrote that in 1797, but he could have written it today. Because lots of us, we like the moral stuff, but we don't want Jesus. But what he's saying is, if you take Jesus out, the morals start to wither as well. So when we come to the Sermon on the Mount, you mustn't get things the wrong way around. The point of this passage is, Jesus is saying, this is what it looks like now that I have brought you into my kingdom. This is what it now looks like. So let's think about these two pictures. And can we put the picture on the screen for me? There you go. Now, here's a little quiz for you. That is a packet. That is a 750-gram packet of table salt. How much for 750 grams of table salt? I haven't got any to give you, but how much do you reckon? I'll tell you. 80 pence. 80p. And that's after Brexit. A year ago, it cost 29p for 750 grams of salt. You are not going to get rich selling salt, okay? But when Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, you've got to understand salt was one of the most precious commodities on earth. Why? Because long before fridges, long before you could put stuff in cans, you could use salt to preserve meat. So Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Why salt? Because salt is so radically different to everything else around it. Everything else in this world is decaying. But you are salt, he says. So stay salty. We'll come back to that. Verse 14, the other picture. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Isn't it interesting? We have thought so much about light in recent weeks. In John's Gospel, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. But here he is, he says, you are the light of the world. He says, if you're in Christ, you are light. So don't hide it. Got another picture here. Just imagine the darkness without that lighthouse shining. It would be pitch black. Do you know, I remember reading in The Leader. Who's missing The Leader? It's a terrible thing, isn't it? My daughter was made redundant because The Leader's gone. No paper round anymore. Terrible. She got redundancy. But a few years ago, there was a story in The Leader. This is probably why it's gone, actually. And it said this, to save money, the streetlights in New Haven are being turned off or dimmed, and crime has risen. Okay, so local resident is quoted, we've put it down to people having the opportunity to get away with it in the dark, which is obvious, isn't it? Massive contrast between light and dark. They are radically different. And Jesus says, if you're a Christian, you need to be as different as light is to dark. There was a man who recently started a church in South Wales. This is not going to be a diss on South Wales. It could have been anywhere. He started a church on a housing estate. And he said, one of the most harrowing experiences we had was on the evening of Christmas Day one year, right outside our house, just outside our front garden, a man beat a woman senseless right outside our house. I went out to intervene, he said. I shouted at the man and the man ran off. The woman then came to, got up, swore at me and ran after the man. So you think, well, that was a complete waste of time, wasn't it? But it was the right thing to do, wasn't it? But here's the interesting thing. Over the next couple of days, it became clear that a number of people had looked out of their window and seen this incident. And no one else had done anything. And so the fact that the only person to do anything was the guy who was running this little church spoke volumes to that neighborhood about the God who that man worshipped. Do you see? And Jesus says, same thing, verse 16, right at the end there, verse 16, Jesus says, let your light shine so that men may see your good deeds and praise not you, but your Father in heaven. You might have been wondering what that first reading is doing here. But you see, if you've got your wits about you, that first reading is an Old Testament example of what we're talking about. King Solomon lets the light of the Lord shine in his life, in his wisdom, in his devotions, in his commitment, in the way that he runs Israel. The Queen of Sheba comes, she experiences it, and did you notice who does the Queen of Sheba praise? You might want to look at it on the front sheet, verse 9. The Queen of Sheba comes, she's overwhelmed by it all, and verse 9, praise be to the Lord your God, Solomon. Praise be to your Lord. I see that he is the one behind all of this. Let your light shine so that men may see your good deeds and praise not you, but your God. Salt and light. There are two pictures about being radically different, okay? So here's the thing, friends. I want to challenge all of us, including myself, if you are in Christ, you need to be radically honest. You need to be radically gentle. You need to be radically committed. We need to be radically servant-hearted. We need to be radically different in what we read and in what we watch. And we need to be radically different in what we don't read and what we won't watch. We need to be radically different in the use of our mouths. So no swearing, no blaspheming, no gossiping, but lots of smiling. Why? Why? Not to get praise, but because Jesus has made us different. And we have the privilege of being what he has made us. It's a privilege. But the easiest thing in the world is to be different by being separate. But that's not what Jesus says. You see, salt is useless unless it mixes with the meat. So, got one more picture. One more picture up here. Remember these? Okay, remember salt and shake crisps? Yep. So, you get a bag of crisps, but you get a separate bag of salt. And you put the salt in the crisps, you shake it around, it makes a huge difference. If you keep them separate, if you keep the salt in the little blue bag, the salt is useless. Even more so with meat. Unless the salt mixes with the meat just goes on decaying. The salt is useless. Do you see that? If you put a light on, but you don't let it shine in the dark, if you hide it under a bowl, if, amazingly, you were to put the light on the lighthouse at the bottom of the lighthouse and not the top, it would be useless. Salt and light Christians need to be different, but not separate. So important, this. We need to be completely mixed in with the world around us. That's why we do Denton Community Challenge. That's why we do. We don't do it to make money. Please don't think that, even if you've fundraised all your life. We do it to be salt and light. It's why the Table Tennis Club is such a blessing. It really is. I didn't know it was going to be. I don't suppose Rosemary did, but it is. It's why we take every opportunity we can to help at Denton School. So every class in Denton School has come through this term to RE in this building, this term. It's why, if we've got something good, we don't hold on to it. We don't keep it to ourselves. We look to share it. But the real issue is that as we mix in with the community, we've got to shake the salt and we've got to shine the light. You see, if one temptation for Christians has been to separate themselves off too much, that's one temptation. The other extreme for Christians is to blend in too much. And if we blend in too much, we lose our distinctiveness, we lose our saltiness, and we lose any kind of prophetic voice we might have. So let me give you one really extreme example of what happens when Christians blend in too much. I might have told you this story. There's a book called When a Nation Forgets God. When a Nation Forgets God. That's a good title, isn't it? I could find a few nations that would fit that, but this is actually written by a German Christian during the Second World War. And he describes how during the Holocaust, the trains carrying Jews to death camps would trundle past his church on a Sunday morning. And you could actually hear the cries of these people on the trains as the trains went by. And this is what he writes. We knew the time the train was coming, and when we heard the whistle blow, we began singing hymns. And by the time the train came past our church, we were singing at the tops of our voices. If we heard the screams, we sang more loudly, and soon we heard them no more. Years have passed, and no one talks about it anymore. But I can still hear that train whistle in my sleep. God forgive all of us who call ourselves Christians and yet did nothing to intervene. Now that is a really extreme example of what happens when Christians are so comfortable, so mixed in, so well adjusted that they have lost their saltiness. You know, that's why I went on about that sex and relationship stuff last week, okay? Because that is an area where we can be distinctive and where we need to be distinctive. So, and what does Jesus say? Because it's a serious warning. Look at this, verse 13, chapter 5, verse 13. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness," he says, "it's good for nothing. Chuck it out. Chuck it out. It's useless." It's a warning. So we need to be radically different, but at the same time, we need to be radically engaged in the community and the people around us. And the great news is, this is the great news, if we are, we will do what salt does. We will stop the decay. We will arrest the decay. We will diminish the decay. Not completely, of course, but we will affect the meat. The meat is all of this, and we will affect it. If we are distinctive but involved, we will do what light does. We won't stop darkness, but we will change it. But for that to happen, we have got to be in contact with the people around us. See, there's just no point. And I'm very good at this. There's no point in just wringing our hands at the state of the world. If there's no salt, there's no point in blaming the meat for decaying. Can I say that again? If there's no salt, there's absolutely no point in blaming the meat for decaying, because that's what meat does. It decays. There's no point in blaming the house for getting dark if there's no light, because that's what houses do without light. When we see bad stuff going on, stuff we don't like, don't blame them. Don't blame them. The question is, where's the salt? Where's the light? Where are you and me? Where are we? We're meant to be shaking the salt and shining the light. So, look, as we finish, how do you do it? I'm not saying it's easy. It's not easy. Okay, so three things. We need to pray. We need to pray on our own, and we need to pray with others, and I need to resurrect the church prayer meeting, and we need to be praying. God works when we pray. Second thing, we need to hold out the gospel. Please don't hold out rules. Don't hold out moralism. It doesn't work. Hold out Christ. Come to Jesus and he will give you rest. He will free you from slavery. He will give you the bread of life. He will give you living water. And then thirdly, live it out. Live it out. Dare to be different. Dare to be different. Quick example from a couple of years ago. The late, great Norman Baker MP. Remember him? He used to come and open the Community Denton Challenge every year. And the first year I met him, I was chatting to him before he opened up. And I said, "I'm ever so sorry. I'm one of those people who's been haranguing you about various things for the last year." And he was so gracious. I'll never forget it. He said, "You haven't been haranguing me. You haven't been haranguing me," he said, "you've been making representations." Maria Caulfield is the same. Isn't it great? There is an encouragement for us to speak. They love it when we speak to them. They want us to tell them what we think. And if we tell them, it makes a difference. We can change and influence the world around us. We can be what Jesus has made us. We can be salt and light to a world full of decay and darkness and despair. We are, Jesus says, we are part of the answer. You are part of the answer. I am part of the answer. Amen.